Turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy. I said last Sunday most of the messages would be on Sunday night out of 1 Timothy, but I just got to the first verse, and 1 Timothy 1, page 1274 in your Old Schofield Reference Bible, and we're going to go to verse 2 today. I don't intend to preach through it a verse at a time like this, but there's so much in these first two verses. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask His blessing upon us today. Father, we thank You today for this privilege of coming back to the house of God to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and to praise His wonderful name and to fellowship together around the things of the Lord as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord. We who are saved make up the family of God. And it's, Lord, this is sort of just a family gathering today when Your people gather together to exalt and worship our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, who's in heaven, seated in heaven. And may we do His will around this place. May we seek to worship Him and exalt Him and praise Him and point others to Jesus. Now bless Your word today. And Father, I pray that You'll just send Your blessed Holy Spirit that He may pass by here today. And may His presence be evident. And may, Lord, we think on the beautiful, wonderful name of Jesus. We know that when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, that He'll testify of Me, Jesus said. And may the Holy Spirit testify of Jesus in this service, Lord, as He speaks to hearts and speaks through His word today. And, Lord, build up Your people. Lord, somebody might be discouraged, encourage them in the way today. And that one that may not have never turned from the broad way to the narrow way, which is the narrow way that leads to heaven, and the narrow way of the Lord Jesus Christ. May they turn to Him today. Have Your way now, and may eternal decisions be made in this service. May people decide to go God's way. Now anoint me and defeat the devil, and bless throughout these grounds today, everywhere, over in children's churches and preschool and here in this auditorium, and around the world where Your name is lifted, may You bless Your people that's gathered together today. Have Your way in this service. Now, Lord, anoint me and help me in Jesus' name, and defeat Satan and rebuke his hindering spirits today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last Sunday, we spoke to you out of verse 1 of 1 Timothy. Paul wrote this first of the pastoral epistles. 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus make up the pastoral epistles or pastoral epistles. And we always sign our letters, as I said, at the end of our letters. Paul, and that day they started off with their signature. Paul said, Paul, and that shows who is writing this letter. And he said he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle, as I said, meant sent one. And he was an apostle by commandment of heaven. He didn't call himself, or his denomination didn't call him, but God called him. And he had a twofold call. He had called, he said, by God our Savior. And then the threefold title, complete title of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. So he was a God-called apostle. And the theme of this book is sound doctrine and proper church order. But now let's move over into verse 2. In verse 1, we see the author of this book, Paul, and we come into verse 2, and we see the recipient of this letter, Timothy. Paul said, unto Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor who was the pastor of the church at Ephesus, who was having a rough time and about ready to quit. So Paul wrote this letter to young Timothy to encourage him. As Timothy sometimes is called Timotheus. This Timotheus is a Greek word. Really, two Greek words form the word Timotheus. And they mean, the two letters put together, Timotheus, means that which is dear to God. Wouldn't you like to be a friend of God? Wouldn't you like to be one who was dear to God? Wouldn't you like to do that? Just be one who is a friend of God and dear to God. And Timothy was dear to God. And also, as we can tell out of this verse, he was dear to the heart of the Apostle Paul. He called him my own son in the faith. That shows that Paul's tender feelings toward this young pastor. Now, Timothy's hometown was Lystra. That is in Asia Minor, what is the present-day Turkey. And his father was a Greek. And his mother's name was Eunice and his grandmother Lois. They were Jewish converts to the Christian way. And he did not have a saved dad, but he had a saved mother and a grandmother. And they had a great influence upon his life and brought him up in the faith. Happy is the young person who has a mom and a dad who will live right and mean business for God. Parents at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, do you want your children to live for Jesus Christ? Do you have a desire for your children to live for Jesus Christ? Then if your children live for Jesus Christ, that's going to have to be the burning, consuming passion of your life. I mean, everything else has to take second place to the one thing that above all, I want my children to live for Jesus Christ. Now that, and you, then from the day you bring them home to the, in fact, you ought to pray for them before you ever have your child. Give them to the Lord. John the Baptist was shouting Baptist in his mother's womb, filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. Jeremiah, God called him, preached before he was ever born. We find, you know, why don't you give your children, mothers, to the Lord before they're ever born? Say, God, you can have them. And from the day they come in this world, Lord, I want to have an influence for God. And I want to live right. Mom, you ought to do that. And every day around the home, you ought to pray with them and teach them the things of the Lord and have devotions with them and pray with them and let them see mom and dad living right at home. And listen, moms and dads, we'll lose our children if we don't mean business for God in our homes. Teach them the old-time religion, back the church, back the way of God, live right. And we can have an impact on our children for God. So your children will not turn out right. Your children won't serve God by accident. It very seldom it'll be by accident. Occasionally it happens by accident. But usually, if your children grow up to get born again and to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, some mom or some dad has paid a price and have given their soul into their children. So let's put our soul into our children. Let them see dad and mom living right and loving the old-time religion and loving Jesus and loving a holy life and living right and acting right and dressing right and smelling right around our children. And we can bring our children up to serve the Lord. So moms and dads, is your priority to have a big time in life, have a big car, a big job, a lot of money? Or is your priority for your children to grow up to be servants of Jesus Christ? You ought to make, if you have children, the number one desire ought to be that they serve the Lord. And everything will be channeled in to bringing them up. I mean, just program their minds to serve the Lord. Program their minds to be spiritual and to think on spiritual things. And this is what this Timothy's grandmother and mother did. I mean, with two she-males after him like that, Timothy didn't have a chance but to grow up and live for Jesus Christ. I mean, the faith, the genuine faith, Paul said, was in his grandmother Lois, and genuine faith was in his mother Eunice. Now, Timothy only had a saved mom, but Paul took him under his wings and became his spiritual father. The Apostle Paul had a great ministry at Lystra. Paul went in and won many, many hundreds to Jesus Christ. And then the enemies of the gospel stoned Paul. They thought they'd killed him. They kept throwing those rocks at his body until they thought they had killed the apostle. And they dragged him out of town and just chunked him like you'd do a carcass of an animal outside of town. And as the disciples and Christians were standing there around him, all of a sudden the apostle Paul got up. I believe he was resurrected from the dead, because he saw things that it's unlawful for men to see into the third heaven. And I believe when Paul was lying outside of Lystra, they thought they'd stoned him to death. God wasn't through with him. And I believe he saw in his spirit, went in and saw the glory world at that time. And the Lord allowed him to be resurrected from the dead. Many people think that. I think that. And I feel like, many other scholars, but I don't want to frame it that way, because I'm not consider myself a scholar. I believe the Bible and believe it, every word of it. That's better than most scholars can say. Do you know that? But let me say this. Many Bible-believing people think, because of what Timothy saw in the Apostle Paul, that his being raised from the dead out there, they threw him outside of town. And by the power of God, I believe he was raised. And this led to the conversion of Timothy as a boy. And after Timothy was saved, he became an outstanding Christian. Had a wonderful testimony. As Acts 16:2 says, Timothy was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. And Paul won Timothy to Christ on his first missionary journey there at Lystra in Acts 14. And here he had the wonderful privilege of calling him my own son in the faith. Paul and Timothy were very close. And there is a close bond of between a soul winner, a servant of the Lord, and someone they win to Jesus Christ. Timothy was Paul's spiritual child. I'll ask you a question. Every one of you, if you're saved, don't ask you a question. Do you have any spiritual children? That is, have you ever won a soul to Jesus Christ? Have you ever been the spiritual father? You have given them the seed, you've planted the seed of the Word of God in their hearts that won them to Jesus Christ. Do you have any spiritual children around? I think one of the greatest joys in the world is to win someone to Jesus Christ. There's nothing like winning souls to Christ. There's no business in the world like being in the soul-winning business. I'm in the greatest business in the world. That is preaching Jesus and winning souls. And everyone here can get into that business. Proverbs 11:3 says, he that winneth souls is wise. Wise. There's a heavenly wisdom that comes on. I believe the sincere winner of souls. You want advice? Don't go to your favorite quack, your favorite psychiatrist. I don't have a lot of confidence in this field of psychiatry anyway. I don't know where it's a legitimate field. Legitimate science. But I know this. They don't have the answers. Thus, you go to a soul winner. If you want some advice, who believes that Bible from cover to cover, and is a winner of souls, and brother, he'll have heavenly wisdom, and he can give you some advice that'll help you. That'll help you. He that winneth souls is wise. Daniel 12:3 says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. When a soul winner gets to heaven, they're going to shine for all eternity. Shine for all eternity. Do you want to shine while the ages roll? If you just go out and make money or get a little fame in this world, you won't shine in eternity. I'll tell you, you might shine now, but you won't shine in eternity. I don't know who's going to shine for all eternity. Those that win people to Jesus Christ. They're going to shine while the ages roll. And if you want to shine when the stars are falling or when this world is burned up, if you want to keep shining, then win somebody to Jesus Christ. Go out there and put your arm around somebody and say, I'm concerned about your soul, but I want to see you saved. And win them to Jesus, and you will shine while eternity rolls. I never forget the time I preached in a little church. Had about 7,500 in Sunday school up above Dixon, Illinois, at a little community called Grand Detour, Illinois. A man in his 70s got saved that morning I preached. And I didn't think a whole lot more about it after that. I didn't know the man. He came forward and got saved. And a few weeks after that, just 2 or 3 weeks after that, a member of the church said, "Preacher, you remember that man that came forward and got saved a few days ago?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "He died right after that." So I have somebody over in heaven this morning. I have a number of others. But that man that I won many years ago was a young preacher to Jesus Christ. He's over in heaven this morning. And that's going to make heaven a little bit brighter for me. And those you won to Christ, it'll make heaven a little bit brighter for you. You know, many times, though, we win someone to Jesus Christ and they come forward and in a service and make a profession. And in a few weeks or months, the FBI can't find them. And the Holy Spirit can't hardly find them. They don't stick. Well, I'm glad Timothy was one of Paul's converts that did stick, and it brought joy to his heart. One of the greatest joys of my life is winning people to Jesus Christ. That's a great joy. And then the next greatest joy, one of the next greatest joys in the areas of the spiritual, is to see somebody go on with the Lord. And then to see them grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like to see people get saved, but then I like to see them get saved and then 5 or 10 or 15 years later find out that they're still in church and still serving the Lord. That's the kind of converts I like to see that stick, converts that stick. You know, I run into spiritual has-beens everywhere I go. Folks, for heaven's sake, don't be a spiritual dropout. Don't be a spiritual has-been. Everywhere, people say, "Well, I run into an ex-Buffalo Ridger the other day and said he used to go to Buffalo Ridge 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago." Folks, don't be a spiritual has-been. I know a man not too far from here. And years ago, he used to pitch tents and hold tent revivals. Now the man's an alcoholic. That's sad. Don't be a spiritual has-been. Don't be a spiritual dropout. If you're saved, stick by the stuff. Stay with the Lord. Live for Jesus. I ran into a lady in the hospital. I've mentioned this before here a while back. Back when down in the old church, I picked this girl up, and I'd forgotten her. But this mother told me up in the hospital, she said, "You used to pick up my daughter." And Betty knows her up there close to Betty. And she got saved and I baptized her down the old church. Man alive, she's getting on up there now. That's been a long time ago. "Betty, man, you're not getting any younger, are we?" But you don't show it though, Betty. But anyway, she said, "I just want you to know she married a good Christian boy and she's a Sunday school teacher down at Bowmantown Baptist Church." Now that thrills my heart to hear of somebody that has been saved at Buffalo Ridge and I baptized that's gone on for the Lord 15 or 20 years later. As 3 John says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And one of the greatest things that can come to this preacher's ears and heart is somebody say, "Hey, that person, you know him? He goes out to your church there. He really lives it, or she really lives it on the job." That brings joy to my heart as your pastor. Then Paul said unto Timothy, "My own son, in the faith," and then he gives here a wonderful greeting, a trinity or triad of blessing and greeting. He says, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord." Every person in this building, from the choir all the way down the main floor up in the balcony, every one of us this morning in this auditorium, we need these 3 things in our lives if we're going to have happy lives. Let's look at these 3 words. And by the way, they have to come in the order Paul has them here listed in his greeting to Timothy. So right here we have really 3 steps to happy life. It's not wealth, health, and fame, but it's grace, mercy, and peace. Now first, the first word in this triad of greeting is grace. The word grace means unmerited favor. When we trust Christ as our Savior, God saves us by His grace. No one can earn their salvation. God, your good works won't earn you heaven. Listen, if you get to heaven, it'll be because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on Calvary's cross. It'll be by God's grace if you get to heaven. And then, when you get to heaven, you can't go around Brother Bragg and say, I lived right, and it was a pretty life, you know. No. If you get to heaven, you'll have to say, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. Turn over to Romans. Hold your place. We'll come around. Turn over to Romans 3. There are so many people around with false doctrine about what salvation really is. I want to just, these verses always have clinched this matter with me. Romans 3, verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just. Notice now. And the justifier, God's going, listen, if you're saved, or if you ever get saved, God's justice is going to have to be maintained. He's going to have to be just in saving a lost soul. Now here is the way God is just and justifies us in His sight. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So God, we're declared just when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 27, then where is boasting then? Why, certainly, if God just justifies us when we believe in Jesus, we can't boast in that. Our boasting has to be in Jesus. By what law? Of works? No. Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let me ask you this question this morning. Have you experienced the saving grace of God in your heart today? Has the grace of God been shed abroad in your heart? You know, God's grace doesn't stop, though, at saving grace. His grace keeps us. As 1 Peter 1:5 says, we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You can't save yourself. You can't keep yourself. The Lord does all that. And then, when we're going through deep trials, there is sustaining grace. Many of our people have been going through great trials recently. That God's grace has been sufficient. His grace. And He said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee. James 4:6 says, He giveth more grace. One of my favorite songs is, He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. When we have exalted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. Hallelujah. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. His sustaining grace. Now, let's notice a second word in this triad or trinity of greeting or blessing. The word mercy. Mercy is this is a precious word. It means compassion or tenderness of God toward guilty sinners. God's justice demands punishment. But when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Lord looks on us kindly, or looks on us with compassion, has compassion toward us. A lot of people say, well, all I want is justice. Brother, I don't want justice. I want mercy, don't you? I want mercy. God's mercy, grace and mercy are two beautiful twin virtues of God. God's grace, notice this now, God's grace gives us that which we do not deserve. And His mercy holds back for us what we do deserve. What a wonderful twin blessings that come from God. We all need God's grace, and we all need God's mercy. And if we don't, brother, if we don't have those two, we're goners. Then notice the third word of this trinity, of this triad here, peace. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we experience God's grace in our heart and God's mercy, then as certain as night follows day, deep, settled peace will come into our heart that the world can't give and the world cannot take away. A few days ago, when this started to go down in my heart, the Lord gave me peace. And it's a wonderful thing to face death unafraid. Thank the Lord. Now notice where this trinity comes from. First of all, Paul said it comes from God, our Father. When you're born again, you can call God Father. You become a member of God's family. You become a child of God when you get saved, when you trust Christ as your Savior. Folks, the older I get, the harder I'm going to preach. You've got to get born again or you'll miss heaven. There's just no two ways about it. Your church membership won't get you to heaven. Your good works won't get you to heaven. I thank the Lord for our faithful people who give, God supplying our needs financially, but because you put your money into that offering plate, won't gain you heaven. I believe in the separated life, but more than all of that, you have to have a vital, saving experience with Jesus Christ. You've got to get born again. You got to get born again. Have you been born again this morning? If you are born again, then you can look up to heaven and call God my Father, my Heavenly Father, if you've been born again. Now in verse 1, Paul mentions God as being our Savior. In verse 2, he mentions God as being our Father, the Father of all those who have been born again. And then in verse 1, he mentions the Lord Jesus Christ is as our hope. Then in verse 2, he mentions Jesus Christ as our Lord, emphasizes Jesus as being our Lord, our Master. And maybe you're saved this morning and you do not have peace in your heart. It may be that you have not made Him Lord of your life. Jesus said in John 14:21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Grace, mercy, and peace comes to our heart when we get born again. When we come to know God as Father, and when we make Jesus Lord and Master of our lives. As this song says, far away in the depths of my spirit today rolls a melody sweeter than song. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Do you know? Have you been born again? Do you know God as your Father? Can you say that Jesus is your Lord this morning? If you can say, yes, I'm born again, and yes, Jesus is Lord, you're a blessed person, a God-blessed person. That's a secret to life, is to know God as your Father through the new birth, and Jesus as your Lord by a surrendered life to Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. What a tremendous message is contained in this one verse of Scripture. Talked to a precious boy last night. Some others did too. Getting ready to take his life. What a tragic thing. What a tragic thing. He didn't have that peace and joy in his heart and life. Thought it ended all. And folks, the only way we can have the answer to life is to get born again, first of all. Come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Receive Him. And then make Him Lord of our life. Is He your Savior today? Do you know God as your Father by the new birth? And second, if you are a Christian, you are saved. Have you made Jesus Lord of your life? If not, why don't you do business with the Lord today? Why don't you do business with heaven? The Lord loves you. He's saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Won't you come to Jesus? I'm glad I came to Him over 40 years ago. He's been good to me down through the years. He's a wonderful Savior. I recommend to you, if you have a heart that's longing to know reality, I recommend the Lord Jesus Christ to you today. If you are saved and your life is meaningless and you're like a ship on an uncharted sea and don't have direction, I recommend to you, Christian, that you make Him the Lord of your life. Let Him lead you. Let Him be master of your life. And do His precious will and serve Him. And God will bless you. God will bless you and use you in a great way. How many can say this morning, as a preacher, yes, I know God as my Father because I have trusted Jesus and have been born in the family of God. I am saved. I'm glad I can say that today. Just lift your hand up as a testimony. Yes, I am saved. I am saved. I've been born in the family of God. I can look up to heaven this morning and call God my Father because I'm one of His children. Put your hands down. I'm glad that many years ago, a preacher faithfully stood up and told me that I could be saved if I'd trust Jesus. And I came and knelt and was saved. Long time ago, but God's been good to me. The Lord's led me down through the years, and I thank Him for His goodness to me. When I haven't always done what I should have done, I confess that, but the Lord has been good to me. He's been a merciful Father to me. Wonderful Savior. I recommend Him to you today. If you're wanting something that satisfies, try Jesus. Christian, if you're wanting a satisfactory, victorious Christian life, why don't you just say, I'm going to make Him Lord of my life. How many of you this morning said, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand a while ago saying I am born again, that I know Jesus as my Savior and God as my Father. I couldn't honestly say that I am a child of God, but I would like to know Him as my Father. I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior. I'd like to become a member of the family of God. There's that desire to know the Lord in my soul. Or maybe you are saved and God's spoken to you about making Jesus Lord of your life. You say, preacher, that's my need. Either I need to be saved or I need to make Him Lord. I have a need. Pray for me. All over the house, let me just, yes, God bless you. Just slip your hand right up. Anyone else? Just slip your hand right up, preacher. Pray for me. Anyone else? Pray for me. Just slip your hand right up. Now I'll remember you in a closing word of prayer. Anyone else? Anyone else? Sir, what about it? Ma'am, what about it? Is the Lord speaking to your heart? If He is, just slip your hand right up. Anyone else? Anyone else? I remember you in a closing word of prayer. Can you say that you're born again? Can you say, Christian, that he's Lord of my life? Anyone else, right before I pray? Remember me in prayer. Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming to thee in prayer. And Father, I bring this congregation to you today. Lord, I believe I've preached what you've laid on my heart. I've tried to say those things that would be pleasing in your sight and true to the Word of God. And Father, I pray that this morning that the Holy Spirit would convict that man or woman, boy or girl that's outside of Christ, not saved, that die now that'd be lost. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will convict them, and that Christian that's not made him Lord of their lives, Lord, they're going around in circles, they have no meaning. Help them to realize the answer, the secret to a blessed Christian life is to make Jesus Lord. May they do so before they leave here. Have your way. Maybe some need to come join the church. May they come. Have your way now in this invitation. In Lord, for the one that raised the hand, may they come down this aisle to Jesus today. In his name, amen. Let's stand and sing 282. 282. And if this morning you need to come to Christ, if you need to make him Lord, or if you need to make him your Savior, trust him as your Savior. If you need to join the church, I'll be standing right down here. Won't you come if God's speaking to your heart? Come on as we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
And close your eyes. We're going to have the choir to sing another verse in just a few moments. I thank God for these that come to join our church and to get some things settled with the Lord. It's good to see people wanting to get things settled with Jesus, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. If the Lord's spoken to your heart today, folks, don't leave here with a burdened heart. Don't do it. Don't do it. You can't, listen, you can't make it out there without Jesus. Life is a dead-end street without Jesus Christ. And if you know him, you're living for him, he'll bless you and help you. When the burdens grow heavy, the Lord will help you with that burden. You're going to need Jesus. You're going to need him. Some of our people have needed him recently, and he's helped. You're going to need Jesus. If you don't know him, you ought to come this morning. Get on your knees and cry out to the Lord. Lord, save me by your grace. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can get up off your knees, walk out of here a child of God. Christian, won't you come make him Lord so God can bless your life? Don't just be a Sunday go to meeting Christian. Be a 7 day a week Christian. Live in the Word. Live for Jesus. Bring your children up to serve God. Let's mean business for Jesus around this church. With heads bowed and eyes closed, choir sing the next verse. If God's speaking to you, come on right now. As the choir sings the next verse, just slip right out. The one that raised the hand over here, won't you come? Just slip right out. Come right on down. Come on. Won't you do it? Just come right on down. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Choir, sing another verse. Won't you come on? Won't you come? Come to Jesus. Don't say no to the best friend you ever had. This way, we're going to sing one more verse, and this will close our invitation. No one else comes. What number are you singing, brother? Fifth verse, number 282, the fifth verse. Won't you come to Christ? Don't say no to the Lord of glory. One day, it's going to be all over. You'll be glad if you say yes to Christ. One more verse, we're through. If no one else comes, come on.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because I promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
You may be seated for just a moment, please. Okay. We're glad to have these who came this morning. Billy, you want to stand? Billy Stedman comes. Billy, going to turn everything over to the Lord, buddy. Amen. And God will bless you, Billy, if you just live for Jesus and read this old book every day and try to live right and pray. Billy had been saved 40 years. Hadn't been one I should, but God's blessed me. And he'll bless you, Billy. He wants to bless your life. You turn everything over to him. Amen, Billy. God bless you. I'm happy for you. Then Jim and Regina Howard. You folks want to stand. Members of our church a few years ago. And got out of God's will. And finally getting back in God's will here. No, we're glad that the Lord has led the Howards back. They want to come back into membership of our church from the Victory Baptist Church in Morristown. Jim and Regina, it's good to have you back. We consider you home, folks, even though you didn't come back to mine. We've always considered you belong here, belong to us. So God bless you. You may be seated. Is there a motion we receive them back into our church by letter? Motion's made. Is there a second? Second. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye and raising your hand high.
Aye.
Pose the same sign. And we're delighted to have Jim and Regina back. Glad to have Billy here. Billy, we're happy for you, buddy. God bless you. Amen. Amen. We'll be back tonight. Our youth meeting at 6 and our evening service at 7. And come and let's be working hard this week for a great day next Sunday. And let's all of us be here. Bring somebody with us. Teachers, bus captains, we're counting on you to work hard this week and make your goals. And let's have a great day for the glory of God next Sunday. Let's stand now and be dismissed with prayer.